KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have cloudy skies. It's 45 degrees. We look for light rain this morning to be ending in areas where it's still occurring, and skies to become partly cloudy with a high of 55. Good morning. I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by Cass County Health System, Cass County Memorial Hospital in Atlantic. The radar shows some light shower activity still in the listening area, primarily off to the north of Interstate 80 and off to the east through Adair County and into central Iowa. The heaviest showers occurring around Oskaloosa. We can see some intermittent sprinkles or mist as the morning progresses. In the news, Governor Kim Reynolds is allowing bars in Iowa's two largest college towns to reopen next week after a five-week closure helped to stop coronavirus outbreaks among young adults. Reynolds signed an order allowing bars to reopen Monday in Johnson and Story counties as long as they follow social distancing rules. Breweries, wineries, and distilleries were allowed to reopen almost immediately on Friday. The venues are often packed with University of Iowa and Iowa State University students. The order says all customers must consume their food and drinks while seated at a bar, booth, or table, and must be at least 6 feet apart. An aide says U.S. Senator Chuck Grassley isn't believed to have been exposed to anyone testing positive for the coronavirus and is continuing to take normal precautions. Grassley, an Iowa Republican, serves as Senate President pro tem and is third in the line of succession following Vice President Mike Pence and House Speaker Nancy Pelosi. Grassley's largest ceremonial role has taken on new significance since President Trump announced that he and the First Lady have tested positive for the coronavirus. Asked about whether Grassley was taking any new precautions, his aide, Michael Zona, said Friday the senator was continuing to follow guidance from the Senate doctor, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, and local health officials. There's a spike in eviction filings in Iowa linked to the pandemic, even though the CDC has halted some evictions since the extra $600 unemployment payments expired. Iowa Legal Aid and Polk County housing officials have been at the Polk County Courthouse in Des Moines to provide legal aid and rental assistance to people facing eviction. Nick Smithberg is executive director of Iowa Legal Aid.
It is of vital importance that tenants engage in this process, deliver the CDC notices to their landlords, and show up for their court cases. They will not win if they don't show up.
A new eviction prevention program has allowed about 250 Polk County residents to stay in their homes. That number includes about 130 children. Smithberg said they connect tenants to rental assistance because the moratorium doesn't suspend rent payments.
The landlords get income that they would have lost and don't have vacancies. The tenants keep a roof over their house, and the public gets the benefit of avoiding the adverse health crisis of having people become homeless during the middle of a pandemic.
Smithberg said they've been able to stop almost all evictions of renters who showed up for their hearings. He says he hopes to expand the program to other parts of the state as well. The Iowa Department of Public Health has announced changes in visitor COVID-19 restrictions at long-term care facilities. Radio Iowa's Dar Danielson reports.
The changes allow for indoor visits at nursing homes in parts of the state with relatively low positivity rates of coronavirus. Information from the health department says the change also allows increased access to important quality of life services such as barbers and beauticians. And it further expands the definition of compassionate care visits so they do not exclusively refer to end-of-life situations. These can include visits to help someone transitioning into a home or for someone who lost a close friend and is grieving. Nursing home residents have accounted for a little more than half of all the COVID-19 deaths in the state. I'm Dar Danielson.
Officials of the Cass County Republican Party on Friday announced that the Trump Victory Tour bus will be making a pit stop in Atlantic tomorrow, October the 4th. The bus will arrive approximately 11:25 a.m. and will be carrying Iowa native and former U.S. Attorney General Matt Whitaker, among others. The bus will be parked in front of the Republican Party headquarters, location at 506 Chestnut Street in downtown Atlantic. Again, that's on Sunday. Cass County Auditor Dale Sunderman reports the Cass County Courthouse will be open for early voting beginning Monday through Monday, November 2nd, for all Cass County precincts. The election room is the county auditor's office, which is located on the first floor. Regular courthouse hours are from 8 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. Sunderman said since ballots requested by mail will also be mailed on Monday, those mail ballots will not have been received by the day that in-person voting begins. And since the voter's record will reflect that a ballot has been requested and mailed, voters who have requested ballots by mail are strongly encouraged to wait for their ballots to arrive rather than attempting to vote in person. Once the voters have received and completed their ballots, those ballots may be mailed or the ballots may be hand-delivered to the Cass County Auditor's Office by either the voter or a person they select. Ballots are to be delivered to the Office of County Auditor Cass County does not have a drop box for ballots or election materials. With social distancing recommended and with full trust in the United States postal system, Auditor Dale Sunderman encourages all Cass County voters to take advantage of the right to vote early by mail for the 2020 general election on November 3rd. Several organizations have already mailed applications for an absentee ballot to Iowa voters, and nearly 2,000 Cass County voters have already filed an application. Only one of those application forms need to be sent to the county auditor. All additional forms may be discarded or recycled. The last day to file an absentee ballot request form with the county auditor and for him to mail you the ballot is October 24th. The auditor recommends requests be filed as soon as possible. If a voter still needs a request form, absentee ballot request forms are available on the website of the Iowa Secretary of State, or you can contact Cass County Auditor Dale Sunderman and have the form mailed to you or emailed to you. The phone number during regular business hours is 712-243-4570 or the email address auditor@casscoiowa.us. Now, in accordance with Iowa code, any voter who is physically unable to enter the polling place, including the Cass County Auditor's office, has the right to vote in the voter's vehicle. Simply call and arrange that. All other voters are required to register in Cass County in order to vote here. All voters are required to provide an approved form of identification at the polling place before receiving and casting a ballot. Voters may register and vote on the same day. Persons registering and voting on the same day after October 24th will also be required to provide proof of residence. The Iowa Supreme Court is being urged by Democrats and a Latino civil rights group to block a new Republican-backed law that could leave thousands of requesters without absentee ballots. Majority Forward, a group aligned with Senate Democrats and the League of Latino United Citizens, have asked the high court to put the new law on hold immediately. They're appealing a ruling released Monday in Johnson County where Judge Lars Anderson declined to block the new law. Anderson found the law would likely survive judicial review, claiming that requests for absentee ballots do not implicate the fundamental right to vote. Sheriff's officials in Page County said yesterday a traffic stop early Wednesday morning led to a foot chase. At around 2 a.m., deputies arrested 47-year-old Gary Lynn Runyon Jr. of Coyne for driving while license bar is barred. Runyon was arrested in Coyne. Authorities say during the arrest, he attempted to flee from the arresting deputy and was apprehended after the short foot pursuit and transported to the Clarinda Regional Medical Center by Coyne EMS. Once released from CRHC and able to be held in jail, Runyon was transported to the Page County Jail and held on $2,000 bond. He was released on that bond later, pending further court proceedings. Plymouth County authorities have released the name of a person who died in a two-car crash near Remsen this past Wednesday afternoon. Killed in that crash was 68-year-old Israel Verestigi of Worthington, Minnesota. Verestigi was traveling north on Highway 140 in a 2003 Dodge Intrepid when he failed to yield to Highway 3 traffic. 34-year-old Jose Everardo Cotino Ramirez, also of Worthington, Minnesota, and a passenger in that car, suffered from minor injuries. The other vehicle was a 2000 Chevy Venture van driven by 69-year-old Jerry Ashenfelter of Lamar's. That van was traveling east on Highway 3 when the collision occurred. Ashenfelter suffered minor injuries during the crash. Both vehicles were declared a total loss. Also in other news today here on KJAN, the archery deer season opened on Thursday, and DNR program leader Tyler Harm says the deer numbers should be plentiful.
You know, a lot of folks are concerned about the epizootic hemorrhagic disease outbreak that we had last year and what that may have done to deer numbers, but our spring spotlight survey from this past spring showed deer population statewide down only about 3%. And so folks may see some lower deer numbers in areas where we had big disease activity centers last year. But for the most part, the population should be about the same as it was last year, according to our surveys.
And Harm says that all the tree damage left by the August 10th derecho will be a factor in the hunt.
I think it's going to impact deer behavior. I think it's going to potentially change the way that hunters in the impacted area hunt those deer. Trees being down is going to make things challenging in the forest for both hunter and deer movement.
Harm advises you to do some scouting before you hunt.
You know, get out to the area that you typically hunt, especially if you're in that storm impacted area, and check your tree stands, check the trails that you usually feed deer on, and check the trails that you usually use to walk. Know where those down trees are and know how you can avoid them and know how the deer are going to avoid them as well.
He reminds hunters not to get so excited about getting out that you don't follow the safety precautions.
We always encourage folks to to take your time and be safe, you know, especially for archery hunters that are spending time in tree stands. Make sure your tree stand is securely attached to the tree. Make sure you're wearing your safety harness. You know, make sure other folks know where you're going to be hunting. Have a hunting plan and share that with others.
Arms says sharing your plan is important so you can be found if there is an accident. An estimated 60,000 hunters are expected for the archery deer season. The first shotgun deer season opens on December 5th. The news was brought to you this hour by Cass County Health System, Cass County Memorial Hospital in Atlantic. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.